I asked Brother Bell if he would accompany me this morning. He needs practice because he doesn't know how to play that piano very well. He really needs practice. I enjoyed playing with him last week. He was amazing. We just changed songs right midstream here. I was going to sing something else. Brother Bell, I'm... Three flats. We're standing on holy ground. Okay. I don't know what the need is in your life this morning, but whatever it is, if you need peace in your heart, if you need healing in your body, whatever it is that you might be facing in your life right now, none of us know, do we, what the other person is going through. We really don't. We're very good at putting a smile on our faces and pretending that the world is wonderful, okay? But inside, we don't know what the person sitting next to you is going through this morning. So I'm just asking you, as I sing this song, if you have a need, claim it. Claim victory in the name of Jesus this morning, because we are standing on holy ground. Okay. When I walked into this room, I felt his presence, and I knew this was a place where love abides. With me if you want to. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. In his presence, there is love beyond all measure, and at his feet, peace of mind can still be found. So if you just reach out and claim it, my child, we are standing on holy ground. Oh, we are standing on holy ground. All around.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. Oh, we are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence. We are standing. On holy ground.
Let's stand and sing it again.
We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels.
Amen. You believe
Hallelujah.
That this morning? Thank
we
God.
Worship
Thank
your
you,
name,
God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen.
We are on holy ground here this morning. I just sense the presence of God here in such a powerful way, and in a way that I haven't felt or sensed in a very long time. And I'm so thankful He's here this morning. And you know, God puts everything together. He orchestrates everything just the way He wants, and all He asks of us is just to yield, be submissive, and do as He says. I had a message prepared for this morning, my wife will tell you, and last night after supper, I was going over my outline again, and I come out to her, and I said, you know, honey, I said, I just don't feel good about preaching this what I want to preach this morning, and I've got something else I think that God may want me to share. She says, are you sure? I said, well, it's happened before, and I am sure. Last Sunday, Tom reminded me of a message that I preached here some years ago, back in 2016, I believe it was, and I typically don't rerun messages. If I preach them, I find something else. You know what I'm saying? But I really felt impressed that I needed to share this morning. And you know, having been here this morning through the preliminaries, and I leaned over to my wife and I said, you know, every song that we have sung here this morning, every one of these just fits and ties right into what God has put on my heart to preach, and it was confirmation to me that yes, this is what God wants me to do. And so I'm going to share a message that, and actually Tom Hale reminded me of it last Sunday, and but I'm going to share it with you this morning in just a few moments. And I decided I'm going to try to sing a song that I don't think I've ever sung it publicly before. In fact, I never really rehearsed it, but it's a very simple one. You probably know it. And it asks a question, and it ties right into what I'm going to be sharing here this morning about, here comes the rain. God's about to send some rain upon us. I hope He changes His mind about the snow. But I don't think that's about to happen. But we're gonna talk about that this morning. But just a very simple song. Most of you, probably all you old timers like myself, will remember this song. But it just asks the question: how long has it been? Has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed, and how long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you? Since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven, how long since you knew that he would answer you and would keep you the Lord night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that this day is worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cares for you? How long has it been since you knew he cares for you? Jesus cares.
Week, I really don't have a voice anymore, and spent many years on the road singing and wore it all out between singing and preaching, and there's not much left anymore. And as I said, by the end of the day, you can hear it right now, I'm starting to lose it. By the end of the day, I'll probably just be whispering. It's just the way it is. I don't know what's going on, but I'm so thankful this morning that we have Jesus, aren't you? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything like that, but I wonder this morning if there's anybody here that needs God to do something, maybe physically in your family, in your life. Perhaps it's a physical need that you have, that you need a miracle from God. And perhaps you are going through a situation that seems impossible. You've been praying and praying and praying, and it seems sometimes that that God is silent, that and you wonder if he's hearing you. We've all been through those times, and maybe, and I have a feeling I'm speaking to someone here this morning that may be going through something like that. I know that in my family, I recently got the news that my brother, my only brother, is 10 years younger than me, lives down in Freiburg, and no one could be closer to a brother than we were to each other. And I can honestly say that I can't remember a single time that I've ever had a falling out with him or we've had harsh words. I've had to correct him a few times, but you know what I'm saying. And just learned that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer and is going through a very, very difficult time right now. We're praying. And sometimes it seems that the more you pray, the worse things get. But folks, don't stop praying. Don't ever stop praying. What you see, we see with physical eyes, but may God help us to see with the eyes of faith and know that no matter what the situation, God is there. Christ can be found even in the midst, as I said last week, in the midst of the fiery furnace. He's there, the fourth man in the fire, walking about. And as I pointed out last week, very quickly, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst. And boy, those three Israelite boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found that he was there in the midst of that fire. So we're thankful this morning for that. I want to share with you from the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. So I've already given you the disclosure that I preached this here some years ago. Some of you that perhaps write those things in your Bible, you may see the date that I preached it and so forth. But I think that we're living in a day, in an age where I think it bears repeating. How many know that? I heard of one person that said to her pastor one time, you preached that 3 times already. And his answer was, well, I'll stop when you finally get it. But we want to share this with you this morning. I've given you the disclaimer. You may recognize it. And my wife says, don't worry about it, sweetheart. She tells me about she says, you never preach it the same twice anyway. It's different every time. But in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, verses 41 through 46, this morning we're looking, it says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing, there is nothing. And he said, that is Elijah said to his servant, he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. That's all I see, but that's what I see. That's different. I hadn't seen it before. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. As I read it this even this morning, I see the scriptures reveal to us so often what's important to people. We see that Ahab, what was important to him was just to go eat and drink, wasn't it? But to Elijah, He wanted to go to the top of Carmel. He wanted to go to that place where God, if you read it earlier on in this 18th chapter, where God performed one of the greatest miracles, this is my own opinion, but one of the greatest miracles in the scripture, as he has called down fire upon the altar that consumed, that miraculously consumed the sacrifice, the water, and even consumed the very altar itself. There's a lot of things that we can learn from Elijah here this morning, and learn also from his servant in this passage. First of all, there was the moment. How many have ever had those moments where you just wish you hadn't had that moment? But during this time, there was the moment we see in verses 41 through 43. It tells us about that. For Elijah, for the children of Israel, for Ahab, for all of them, there was a moment. It was a moment of scarcity. They were lacking. The Bible says that in verse number 43, The servant went up, and even as he looked out in obedience to what Elijah had told him and looked to see some kind of a change, to begin to see something happening, he went and he said, and he came back, and Elijah said, "Okay, servant, what do you see? What did you see when you went down there?" And the servant says, "There's nothing. What else is new? There's nothing. We're in the middle of a great drought. It was a time of scarcity." I think any of us that have ever been in times of drought know that can be a very hard time. It hadn't been 3.5 years since the last rain that fell on the land at that time. That entire region was in the middle of a 3.5 year drought. We sometimes get spiritually in a drought. We sometimes get physically in droughts, where we pray and we wonder, when is the answer going to come? When is God going to speak? When is he going to show that he's hearing me? And sometimes our relationship with him can seem a little bit dry. I know that's true for preachers sometimes, that we can sometimes feel a little bit dry and pray and hope and believe that sometime, somehow, somewhere along the line, God will do something in our life and ministry that we really need. Israel didn't know it during this time of scarcity. Israel didn't know who to serve, whether to serve God, the true God, or whether to serve the false god Baal. You can read that back here in the 21st verse. We didn't read it here this morning, but in the same chapter, Elijah came to all the people and he said, "How long will you halter or falter? How long will you just sit and twiddle-dee-dee between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people answered him not. He was saying, make your decision. What are you going to do? And we come to those times in our lives, whether of scarcity. There have been times that I've wondered as a preacher, is God finished with me? Is God all done with me? Does he have any more for me? I'm feeling dry sometimes. And sometimes it seems that my sermons fall flat when I preach them. And I can tell you there have been times when I've walked across when we pastored in Mars Hill. There are times when I walked out of the church after a service. The parsonage was right across the parking lot. And there have been times when I felt like a whoop puppy dog walking across the parking lot with my tail between my legs, my hip pockets dragging on the ground, and wondered, what is going on here? Am I in the right place? Am I where God wants me? But folks, let me tell you that God does not want us to make hasty decisions. How many know when you make a hasty decision, it's usually the wrong one? That's the way it goes. I believe God wants us to hang on, to trust him, and to believe him. So it was a moment of scarcity that Elijah was talking about here, what he was going through. Not only that, it was a moment of success. Now, that's a paradox, isn't it? How can it be scarcity and success at the same time? Well, scarcity doesn't necessarily mean that you're not where God wants you, or it does not necessarily mean that somehow you failed or that you're a failure. In the verses prior to this, which I've already alluded to, we see that Elijah had just been used in a great, mighty, and powerful way by God with the sacrifice that was consumed on Mount Carmel. And it was so in that sense, he was coming off, and that's sometimes the way it is. We come off a great victory. We come off a great spiritual high, if you will. But there's always that Monday morning, isn't there? Thank God for Sundays. And I wish we could jump from Sundays sometimes right into Tuesday, but it doesn't work that way. There's always a Monday morning that comes along, and we begin to wonder, when is God going to answer this prayer? I've been looking for this. I've been looking for that. But it was a moment of success. But I want you to know that God always wants us to do something else for him. And I also want you to know that we need to know that the devil doesn't want us to. The devil doesn't want us to. He will try to convince you that there's something wrong with you. He'll try to convince you that you've blown it. He'll try to convince you of those things. And I think of Job, his friends. Here, poor old Job is going through something that was not of his making. He was not a failure. He was not at fault. He had prayed and examined his own life to make sure that he had not sinned. And yet his friends come around him, his so-called comforters, and try to convince him, Job, there's got to be sin in your life or you wouldn't be going through that. And you can read all 42 chapters of that great book, and it's such an encouragement. We see that there are people that go through difficult times that are not of their own making. Now, this was a time not only of scarcity and success, but it was also a time of seeking. You'll notice in verse number 42, it says, Ahab went up to eat and drink. That's all he was interested in, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling those fleshly needs. And Elijah could have very well gone and with him and feasted and ate and drank as well. But in that same verse it says, but Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. That was a great place where God had moved. He wanted to go, I think. Have you ever had to figure, I need to retrace my steps. I may be going in the wrong direction here. And I see that Elijah is, I don't know if he's thinking that, but it's almost like he is. I wonder if I may need to go back to where I had been before. God, that was the last place that I had experienced the might and the move of God. So I think I'll go back to Mount Carmel. Ahab can go and eat and drink all he wants, but I'm going to Mount Carmel. I want to go where I met God before and where God answered that prayer when I prayed and he responded with fire from heaven. Oh, thank God. We have those times and we can go back to where we last were. That we can, you know, I don't live in the old days, the old times. We don't live on those. Today is today, and that's where God has put us. But I'll tell you, there are those times when it sure feels good to go back. I'm glad to be in a Pentecostal church this morning. And folks, I'm not going to berate my brothers and sisters that I minister to today. I've been serving as an interim for the last 3 years. It was supposed to be just a week or two or three. It's turned into 3 years. These precious Baptist people over in Linnaeus, they're wonderful people, and I would never berate them. They love God. But I'm telling you this morning, it's good to be in a place where the Spirit of God is free to move, where we could sit back. I appreciate Brother Gerald this morning as I observed him just kind of standing back, and let's see what God wants to do here, that we don't act in haste. God may be trying to do something. He may be trying to minister to somebody here this morning. He may be trying to minister to you here this morning. And there are times we just need to step back and allow God to be God. And it's good to be in a place this morning where I can feel and experience the freedom to do those very things. A moment of scarcity, a moment of success, but a moment of seeking. Elijah put himself in a position to pray. He went to the place of prayer, which was Mount Carmel, where he knew he could meet God. He was sure that God was going to move there. But I see here in verse 42, his humility, his position of humility. You'll notice here, he places his face, he sat down and he put his face, he fell down on the ground, put his face between his knees. I think that God puts those things in Scripture. How many believe this morning that this book is inspired of God? Every word, every jot, every tittle, every punctuation mark, I believe with all my heart, is God inspired. Nothing is there by accident. And God has a purpose for everything he puts in his word. And where it tells us here that he put his face between his knees, he could very easily have said he went to pray, but he got specific here. And I believe what God is trying to show us is that when we come before him, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, when we come to him, we must always come in humility. We are meeting the King of Kings. We are meeting the Lord of Lords, even as Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. We sang of that this morning about the name of God, the name of Jesus, how precious and how hallowed it is. It was a place between his knees, a position down upon the earth. It was a place of humility. And that absolute humility tells me that Elijah totally depended upon God. He was showing his dependence upon God. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Showing my humility and dependence. I cannot do it without him. We read in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You and I can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to do it. When he calls us to do it, he enables us to do it and gives us the strength. But Elijah here is just showing here his humility and his dependence upon God. He's in the middle of a terrible drought. Nowhere else to turn. We have nowhere else to go. Nowhere else. But let me tell you, folks, great things happen when God's people begin to get serious and in humility. If my people who are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves. God, do you know that God resists the proud? Now that's written to Christians. He resists. I don't know about you, but I don't want him to resist my prayers. Have you ever had someone come to you and start talking and you just feel, I wish I could just push them away. You know, such this and that, whatever, for whatever reason. I don't want God to have to feel that way about me when I pray, and I know you don't either. Humility, a time of seeking. Today we're living in a time where the church needs to be seeking. We are, folks, we are living on the very edge. I believe it's the 11:59 on God's clock. Jesus is returning. At any moment in time, he's coming for a church that is seeking him. Jesus said, watch and pray. Seek me. You find me. Seek me. A seeking people. And if there's ever a time, we see it every day in the news. We hear it on the news reports. We read it. We see it constantly. It's a barrage of the atrocities, the crime and corruption in the very highest levels of our own government. the violence that is raging not only on the streets of big cities, but it happens in small towns and communities as well. And of course, the answer, man's answer, is pour more money into it. They need more money. Well, you know, and I know it doesn't work. We need a return to God. The church needs to be on its knees and praying and seeking the face of God. So it was a moment of scarcity and success and seeking. There was a time that I'll share in just a moment, that it seems that no answer would come. And back in the old days when I traveled and I sang a lot, there was a song that said, "I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord." Some of you may have heard that old song. There's a recitation in that song, and I used to do that recitation that says, "I've prayed many a prayer that it seemed no answer would come to, even though I'd waited patient and long. But answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me want to keep praying on." Folks, that needs to be our attitude this morning. Humility before God and a determination to keep praying on until the answer comes. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, pray never ceasing. We need to pray and continue to pray. And if there was ever a time that Elijah needed a miracle, this was it. And that miracle, the answer to that prayer that needed and required patience. So he went to seek God. Do you feel like the servant today? Not Elijah, but his servant. Have you been looking for an answer to prayer over and over and over again? I shared this story. This is a true story, and of course there's more to encourage us from it even today. But my granddaughter, our oldest granddaughter, Jessica, some of you know I'm repeating this, but our oldest granddaughter, Jessica, back when she was around 12 or 13, I think, maybe a little older, I don't understand what it was, but she began hating herself. And she was cutting herself. She had become, had an eating disorder. She was bulimic. You know what that means, eating and then just getting rid of it. And it was a terrible time being brought up in a Christian home. And she even considered suicide on several occasions. And I can't tell you how many nights I would get a call from my son. They lived down in New Hampshire. I'd get a call from my son, and he'd be weeping. He said, "Dad, we're at the emergency room again with Jessica. She wants to kill herself." And she'd been in and out of facilities for like 3 years. This facility, and she'd come out and things would seem okay for a short time and it would be right back into it. And she'd back in the emergency room, and then she'd be into another facility, several facilities. And I don't know who it was, but someone gave her a book and a CD, I think it was, of a singer by the name of Lacey Sturm. Now, my generation had never heard of her, and probably yours. How many of you people ever heard of Lacey Sturm? Just Tom, maybe one or two of them. She, believe it or not, she's won Grammys, but her music is something that doesn't really light my fire, but I guess it's called Christian metal, whatever that is. It's a style, and but you know, to a young person and to her, she got this book and the CD. She read the book. She listened to this. She loved it. She loved it, and she began to write fan mail to Lacey, and she wanted more than anything to meet Lacey. Of course, there was a lot that she and Lacey had in common. And in her book, she wrote and told about how she had battled with deep, deep depression for a number of years. She battled with eating disorders, which Jessica was going through. She hated herself. And at 16 years of age, her grandmother brought her to a church service. She brought her to a Pentecostal church. And she went there with the idea that as soon as the service is over, I'm out of here and I'm going to go home and I am going to kill myself. I want to die. True story. This is what she wrote about. And during that service, she got up to walk out. One of the deacons stood right in her path, right at the back door, wouldn't let her pass. And he said, young lady, you need to be here and you need to be prayed for. So she stayed and they prayed for her. And God saved her. God did a marvelous work in Lacey's life. And she still proclaims it today. Well, Soul Fest, they used to have these Soul Fest things. I don't know if they still do these festivals down in New Hampshire. And and every year they have, you know, they've had like, I guess, Russ Taff and, you know, different contemporary type Christian groups there. And she heard that Lacey was going to be there. And when she heard that, she was in a facility. And her dad and mom got her out of the facility and took custody of her and took her to Soul Fest. And I got a letter from my granddaughter Jessica right here. I found this. And I'm so thankful I never threw it away. And I just want to skim through it with you and tell you about what happened. But let me just tell you, before I read that, my wife and I prayed for her for at least 3 years. I mean, we poured our hearts out to God. And it seemed at times that no matter how much we prayed, the worse she got, the more often she was in the ER, the more often she wanted to kill herself, the worse her eating disorder had become, the more we prayed. And sometimes you begin to wonder, I wonder if I should just quit. This doesn't seem to be working. But folks, I want you to know that no matter how long you have prayed for a situation, I don't care if it's 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, keep praying. God hears those prayers. And he answers prayers in his own way and in his own time. And my son, we were on vacation over on Prince Edward Island. I'll never forget it. And I got a call on the cell phone from my son. And he said, Dad, he could hardly contain himself. He says, we've had a miracle. Jessica's been delivered. She's been healed. God has answered our prayer. He was just beside himself. He was so thrilled and filled with such joy. And he and Jessica sent me this letter back in August of 2016. And it says, we were having a good time at Soul Fest. My dad was texting a friend of his working at the stage Lacey was playing at. He offered to try to get Lacey's autograph. We had bought a CD, even though I already owned the digital version, she says, whatever that is. I also gave a letter from me and copies of the fan mail letters I had been sending her for a while. And we were halfway through Colton Dixon, and my dad got a text saying that his friend couldn't get the CD signed and the letter delivered. I was so disappointed. For my dream to meet Lacey a few minutes later was just gone. And 10 to 20 minutes later, she says, we got another text saying there might be a chance. So Lacey came out hurried because she needed to get ready for her concert, which I completely understood. She signed my CD and I gave her my letter. I was so happy and was so glad to give her my letter, even though she would probably never read it. Wrong. I was watching the act before her and her dad's friend came over to us. Lacey came over to us with one of Rich's friends and said something to my dad. Dad brought me over behind the stage where Lacey was seeing some fans. And I'm like, what's happening? And my dad said that Lacey wanted to speak with me. Lacey later came up to me. She brought me into the tent and said that God had called me for no other reason to this soul fest. God has called me here to speak to you. She began to tell me that I was beautiful and that I was worthful. She told me that I was loved. She told me I was smart. And she told me that God's angels, God had sent angels to watch over me during this whole thing. And they're far stronger than the demons I had been fighting. She told me many more things will stay with me forever. Then she put her arms around me and she prayed for me. And I feel like I'm seeing for the very first time and feeling and believing in God for the first time. I can't believe this has all happened to me. And I'm so grateful for everything now. Thank you, Lacey, for being the messenger God sent to open my eyes. I feel so content now for the first time in my life. And now I want to fight, and I want to love myself. And folks, she never, ever had to enter another institution or facility. God changed her. And this year, she is a senior at Gordon College, a music education major. Has absolutely one of the most beautiful voices, and I'm not just saying this because I'm her granddad, one of the most beautiful, gorgeous voices you will ever hear this side of heaven. She has studied opera. She spent her entire summer this year singing opera throughout Italy. God has been using her and continues to use her. And we're so thankful for her that she got to go to a Christian college. God, you know, folks, God answers prayer. It took several years. It took years of my wife. Jesus, didn't he say that if any two of you will agree he is touching anything, my Father in heaven will do it? That's what my Bible says. And we agreed in prayer for several years while Jessica was going through this terrible, terrible situation. The devil struggling, trying to take and steal her very life from her. But as I look back now, it may have taken God a few years to answer. That's the way it is sometimes. You have to wait. But I believe that it was not just the struggle of the devil trying to pull her away, but what he was fighting against was God's people praying on the other side, trying to hold her up in the arms of prayer by the throne of grace in heaven and praying that God would do a miracle. And no matter how much the devil tried, the harder we prayed. And God came through with a mighty manifestation. Folks, salvation is the greatest miracle God can do. It's something that medical science cannot achieve. It's something that any other religion cannot achieve. It's something that only God can do. Only He can save. And only He can transform a life. If any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things. I like the word he puts in there, behold all things. In other words, look, all things have become new. Look, they're new. See, this is what he's saying. Look at what God has done and what God is doing. And it happened in our own family. And I'm praying and believing that God will touch and heal my brother. Great miracle. The miracle that Elijah was praying that his servant would see had great potential. The cloud was small, the Bible tells us, but it was exactly what Elijah was looking for. You may be waiting for the answer to your prayer, and it may seem, your answer may seem small, but remember, God can take a little and do a lot with it. Little as much, if God is in it. Moses learned that great truth when he stood before God, before that burning bush, that manifestation of God's presence. Said, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm unable, etc., etc. And God answered with just a question, first of all. He says, Moses, what are you holding in your hand? Moses says, it's a rod. He says, throw it down. He tossed it on the ground and it became a snake. He says, seize it. Picked it up and it became a rod again. What God was trying to show him is that the little things you have and what little faith that sometimes we have, use it. Give it to God. Allow him to multiply it. A moment of scarcity, success seeking. When the rain starts falling, and it fell, didn't it? Began as a little cloud about the size of a man's fist. Just a little black cloud coming out of the sea. But it grew and it grew and it grew, and rain began to fall. When the rain and the answer to God comes in our churches, when revival comes, it's not a time to sit back. It's a time to go. Go where God sends you. Do what God tells you to do. Go. I've seen revivals come and go. Many times they go because we don't go. We don't do what God wants us to do. But I would encourage you to do that. When God does great things, we enjoy it. But he doesn't want us to just sit back and soak it all in. He wants us to be used of him. When the rain starts falling, it's time to go, but it's also time to be great, to do great things for God. Time to do things perhaps you never knew you could do, but to continue to serve God with hearts of faith, serve God in prayer and worship. Don't wait until the next drought, because droughts come. And I close with just, I'm not going to sing this, but Tim Hill, who was a great Church of God evangelist, he was the overseer of the denomination for a while. I don't know where he is or what he's doing today, but he wrote that quartet song that we used to hear once in a while. He's in the midst of the fire, walking in the flames. He wrote that, but he wrote this song, and I copied the words of it. The song is Here Comes the Rain. I want you to hear the words of this song and be encouraged today as we close. The seed you planted deep has yet to grow. You've wondered when you'll reap the things you sow. How long has it been since rain last touched your ground? You've searched the skies, but seems the rain just can't be found. But it will rain again. The fruit will fill the vine. The stalk will bend with wheat. The grapes burst forth with wine. So go into your field. Your work is not in vain. Hear that? Your work is not in vain. God promised harvest, and I know it will rain. So lift your head today and see the task. The rain will come your way if you will ask. Go build your barns, my friend. Prepare to store the grain. The clouds are rolling in, and I know that it will rain. Amen. Amen. God promised harvest. God has given us many promises. He still answers prayer. And I want to encourage you today, and as we closed last week at this altar of prayer, I'm just going to ask if you just come forward just for a few minutes, as many as can or as many as will, especially if you have a need that you've been praying for and seeking answers for, seeking a miracle that only God can give. I want to encourage you to come. If our musicians would come and just play something suitable and appropriate for this time, I'd appreciate that. And we're just going to close this prayer or this time. Nothing wrong with it becoming a prayer service, but come and let's spend just a few moments at this altar of prayer. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me?